Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Born to Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Marcia Witeka. Conversations plus connections equals community. Those are my three C's. The heart of my show is, what's your story? It's my belief we all have stories. Some are similar, others are uniquely different. Storytelling brings the passions of my guests to life through our conversations. So be prepared to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Welcome to today's show. Well, happy Monday to you, wherever you might be. I'm very excited about my show today. My guest is Chip Schulte. He is the founder and president of Beach Cities Volleyball. Welcome to the show, Chip.
Thank you, Marcia, and thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure, and thank you. Listen, let's just give a shout-out to our mutual friend, David Murray, who was the one that introduced both of us, and thank you, David. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you, David. And I'm honored to be here.
Well, thank you. So let's just start off by getting to know a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Chip.
Okay, I'm a grandfather of eight grandchildren. I have three children, and I have passed the grandfather's rite of passage. That is, all of them have graduated from college, have their own jobs, and have their own houses they own, so they can never borrow money from me again.
And so
I have four grandchildren in Houston, Texas, and four in Salt Lake City. And then I am a grand uncle. Got a niece in Dublin, Ireland.
Wow.
A nephew in Miami, Florida, with a 3-year-old son, and a niece in Cleveland, Ohio. I was
my
personally
goodness.
That's my team and my family. And that's where my wife and I visit. Each, we figure out a way of visiting each of them all year, you know, once each year.
That's wonderful.
Although they're all over.
Yeah.
I grew up in Brentwood, South Pacific Palisades area. In 1961, the Brentwood Bel Air fire took our house.
Oh,
so
my
we
goodness.
Moved from Brentwood to the Palisades. Mm-hmm. I graduated from Pali High in 1965. I got a Bachelor of Arts in Speech Economics at Cal Western University in 69 and a Master's in Business from Rutgers in 1971.
Ooh. Nice.
Sports has always been a major part of my life, provided the financial support I needed to get both my undergraduate and my graduate degree. And since then, I started as a CPA for 4 years, and then for the next 40 have worked in senior financial management or as company president of various companies.
Terrific.
So that's background.
That's quite a background, and we're going to be talking today about a passion of yours, and that's the Beach Cities Volleyball. When did that start? What year did you begin that? Was it 2000?
We started actually in August of 1999. Our first year end was August 2000.
Great. Well, let's let our people know about Beach Cities Volleyball. If you were going to define it, how would you define what it is you do?
Very, very simply, we like to call ourselves a youth volleyball organization that helps children become successful adults one pass, set, and spike at a time. That's sort of how we look at each other, at ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That's neat. I like what you said about spiking. Oh, I know that's a very important term in the sport of volleyball. So for people that are listening, and I realize, you know, people listen from all across the country, just so that you know. So you are probably inspiring people not only locally where you and I live, but people that live in other locations as well. But for those that are listening that are more local, where are you located?
Oh, our families come from the coastal communities south of Santa Monica, say Venice and Westchester, and then down to Long Beach, and then we venture into the inner city. We all in all we're in 23 communities across that region, and we're in 11 gyms in three of those communities.
Oh, no kidding! So you're not in just one location. Your organization is in 11 gyms.
Yeah, we have 36 teams.
And oh my goodness!
We have a lot of programming in addition to just the club's teams. So we have one principal location in Hermosa Beach, and our largest location is in Torrance. But we're in Manhattan Beach, Redondo Beach. You know, we have gyms basically in 11 different areas.
Nice. A lot of South Bay, though, it sounds to me.
Yeah, we're mainly a South Bay West Side organization.
Got it. Terrific. So how did this all get started?
I'm a dad of three kids. You know, when you're creating your children, until they listen to you until they stop. And basically, you're a big part of what they are. When my daughter was 11 years old, we had a birthday party on the third floor of our house. There were little girls in pajamas all over. I gathered all the young ladies in a circle, and I asked each of them their name and what school they went to, what community they lived in. And I was amazed. Every single kid was from Manhattan Beach, every single one. It entered my mind, these kids, we're creating these kids. They don't even know how people live 2 miles north in El Segundo, 2 miles east in Hawthorne. Then that concerned me. A lot of kids graduate from MiraCosta High School. It's a fabulous high school.
It is.
They hit a wall. They don't have any idea how other people live. And many of those fine young people I had coached when they were 8 and 9 years old, not in volleyball, but in soccer and baseball. And now, you know, 30 years later, they're still living with their parents. They haven't launched yet. They go to college and they suddenly have difficulty dealing with different kinds of people because they don't have understanding how people elsewhere lives. And then about a year later, there were three girls talking. I had two boys first. So I used to love listening to girls chatter. And my daughter and two other girls were talking on the second floor, and I was eavesdropping. Now, these are 11-year-old girls. And one of them said, "Wasn't that guy cute?" Which raised the hair on the back of my neck. And the second little girl said, "Well, he doesn't even have a cell phone. How many 11-year-olds have a cell phone?" And the third girl, and one of these three was my daughter, third little girl said, "He hasn't even been to Europe yet." That just we were raising these kids, and they had no idea how cheated they were getting. Everybody's getting cheated in that manner. They don't know they don't understand what the world is out there. We wanted to create a club that crossed economic, community, and ethnic lines.
Good.
So to create families working together. That's sort of what the background of what caused it to get started. A couple of years later, my daughter was turning into a teenager. It became clear I should stop coaching her and she should stop playing under my coaching. So rather than coach her, I was watching her, and halfway through in her volleyball team, halfway through the season, the parents didn't like the coach and were complaining, and I ended up having to coach her again. And so the following year, we decided I'm going to start a different club, so I just won't be available to coach her team. The idea of starting this wonderful, what we hope is a wonderful family-based organization that eliminates barriers in society, that's when we started it.
That's great. I'm going to just mention right now, but I will also have this posted just so that you know, that your website is really beautiful. For those of you that are listening and maybe just want to visit the website while we're having this conversation, you would just go to www.beachcitiesv, like Victor, B like Boy, C like Charles, BBC.com, beachcitiesbbc.com, and you will see Chip's website there. But let's talk about your mission statement. What would you say is your mission for Beach Cities Volleyball?
Yeah, our mission statement has been to teach volleyball skills and life skills to young people from 7 to 18 years.
Oh, 7. I thought it was 8. I was wrong. So you can be as young as 7. I thought it was 8. Okay.
For one of our starters programs, yes.
Okay. I'm glad you mentioned that because I was incorrect in knowing that, and I will fix that on my blog. So you can be as young as 7 and as old as 18. So I appreciate you saying that. All right. So they're like you had said in the beginning, that this is more than just volleyball. These are life skills. And I think that, you said you coached baseball and soccer. My son played Little League. You know, you do need to learn life skills. You do need to be able to hold your temper or your behavior or be a good teammate and all of those things. And I think that that's very important, whether you're 7 or 11. You know, I think that's very, very important. And so what were those early years like when you first started way back in 2000?
Well, I had a lot to learn about, not about volleyball, but about club volleyball.
Okay.
We had 12 coaches at tryouts the first day, and we only had 4 kids try out for all the age groups all day long.
Oh, boy. Wow.
So we have a lot to learn. Mm-hmm. We did work real hard, and we grew the teams to 10 in the first year. Got to be friends with a gentleman named Tony Mayrie, and Tony and I built Beach Cities Volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
Tony is different. Tony was from New Jersey. Got to be my best friend. And with him, he always coached 3 or 4 teams, Beach Cities teams, once we grew a critical mass.
Mm-hmm.
And I, ran the company and coached a couple teams. The early years were I would basically leave the gym at 7 and go back to the office and work until about midnight.
Oh,
and
boy.
Drive home and get up at about 5:30 in the morning to,
oh my goodness,
to check our bank accounts to make sure that our banks weren't hacked. They were long first days, but they were filled with joy.
I see.
Tony was a great guy, and he was married. I was the best man in this wedding, actually. And he's the one that basically produced the Beach Cities Volleyball name through all these different territories, all these different communities. Now we have 36 teams, up from four players to 36 teams, grew through a worldwide economic recession and a worldwide pandemic, and kept going. And a lot of that I credit to my coaches that accomplished most of this.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit. I like details. I didn't play volleyball. My kids didn't play volleyball. I live 3 blocks from Loyola Marymount University, and there's an outdoor volleyball court there that they kids play in the sand as well as the gymnasium. But in playing on in your organization, you mentioned there's 36 teams. So because I don't know, how many kids are on a team?
We usually just take 10. That's just one of our programs. We usually take just 10 teams, 10 players on each team.
I see.
With the youngest players that aren't nearly ready for club volleyball, we have a Future Stars program.
Okay.
Those are 6-week, 2-day-a-week programs, and they usually practice from 4 to 5:30, and then we have 7 of those seasons each year. So a player can sign up for one of those and then be more ready for club volleyball if they want. Or we have those that can graduate from that can go into our recreational league. We're just starting up.
Okay.
Which is one practice and then a tournament every Saturday. Same times. They run 6 weeks. So if they weren't ready for club, but they were a little bit past the Future Stars program, the recreational practice would program would be for them. And then
I see.
Lots of people sign up for that, but then they decide they want training also. So then they sign up for training plus the recreational league, which is not something we anticipated. Once they graduate from that, they go to the club season. The high school girls club starts playing in November, December, plays through June. The boys start in September, run through January, and then they're down for 3 months because of the high school volleyball program. And then the 14 and under girls program goes from November through June. And the Nationals are at the end.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. I'm
sorry to interrupt you, but let's back this up just a little bit because I am looking at your website, and I thought maybe you could just – you've mentioned a few things, and I don't know how many people are taking notes the way I am, but why don't we just talk about some of the programs that you do offer, because there is a variety of programs that you offer, correct?
Yes.
So you have plenty of time to share about that. Well, tell us about those programs.
Okay, so the first one is Future Stars.
Okay.
Kids play from 4 to 5:30. They can sign up for Monday and Wednesday or Tuesday and Thursday or Friday and Saturday or Saturday only. It's run, those programs last for 6 weeks. They're relatively inexpensive. The person that runs that, Phil Spacek, has been doing that for 3 or 4 years. He's a former psychologist and volleyball player. The recreational practice and play leagues, basically for the players, at the Future Stars, they develop an understanding of the game, and, they develop their skills in serving and passing and setting and spiking, so they have a rudimentary skill level after one or two of those seasons, of those 6 week seasons. Then at that point, if we think they're strong enough, we'll offer them a position on one of our club teams. If the player is not quite ready but is still developed sufficient skills, then we say, why don't you go into the recreational league on Saturdays. You play practice once during the week, and then once on Saturday a tournament each week. And then from there, that would grow into the club seasons. Now the club seasons are in some cases 2 practices a week, 2 2-hour practices a week, and 10 or 11. Tournaments in the Southern California Volleyball Association division, and three intra-club tournaments. And though that club season is divided into three parts, boys teams, and we anticipate having somewhere between 14 and 16 boys teams, okay. High school girls teams, and they won't start playing or practicing legally until the end of November. They can't conflict their practice times with the interscholastic high school teams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the CIF requirement.
Let me interrupt you for a moment, Chip. So do you find that these older kids, especially we'll talk about the high school age kids, do you find that they play high school ball as well as join your organization as well?
Yeah, that's part of the reason they join us. We have
to improve their skills.
Yeah, they want to be. They want to improve their their standings relative to the other players, and B, in many cases, all the high school players are playing club volleyball. We have over 200 players each year, boys and girls, that are playing either junior high school volleyball or high school volleyball each year. And then we have we had 17 teams go to the nationals last year. That was in late June, the early July time frame.
Cool.
Then we also have 8 weeks of summer camp.
Ooh.
And a series so kids can sign up for 1 week at a time. That's for less experienced players. And then the same program for what we call high-performance clinics. And that's for more experienced players that might be on the path to college careers in volleyball.
Yeah, that's interesting. But you don't ever have co-ed teams, correct? The boys play with the boys and the girls play with the girls?
That's correct, although we do some beach programming. And when we do the beach programming, we let anybody, it's encouraged. No one has to go to it. And sometimes there the boys are playing against the girls. The strongest high school girls love to go and compete against these boys who are spiking it really, really hard, and they dig it anyway. I noticed that's something the girls really love. And the boys, of course,
don't.
They love being around the girls. So, yeah.
Well, there you go. Have you found? I happen to know somebody that played quite a bit of volleyball, female. Have you found that it's common that volleyball players, sort of like the sport of basketball, are fairly tall? Does height help?
Well, height helps if you play front row.
I see.
If you play back row, they actually have positioning just for, it's called libero, and that's just for shorter players.
Okay, let me ask you this question, because I'm learning, and people that are listening that may not know. So if you play the front row or you play the back row, is it similar to baseball when you say, I don't just play the infield, I play third base or I play shortstop? So when you play a position in volleyball, you're not moving all the time. That is the position that you play in. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. No, you rotate in between each point, and then once the service hit, then you move to your position. The front row players, who are usually taller, especially as the players grow older, they're taller. They can spike in front of the 10-foot line. The back row players can spike, but only from behind the 10-foot line. So, of course, that's not usually as successful a spike. The back row players' talents are playing near the floor and diving and getting a lot of black and blue marks. And coming up with tough spikes and tough serves. the front row players don't have, you know, they basically play more front row. Well, they play, some players play all the way around also.
Mm-hmm.
So if you saw the Olympics in indoor volleyball, you would have seen one girl on each team that had a different jersey than the rest of the girls.
Okay.
Those were the liberos, and they can play all the time on the back row. When it's their turn to go to the front row, they can go back to the first position in the back row again.
I see. Well, can you? You're just talking to a novice. Can you spike from either the front or the back, or do you only spike from the front row?
If you're a front row player, you can spike from wherever you want. But usually the setter wants to set the ball close to the net, so it usually be in front. If you're a back row player, if you're a libero or a defensive specialist, that's the back row players, they would not spike in front of the 10-foot line. That would be illegal.
Okay, and the 10-foot line is evidently must be marked on the floor. Is that why you know where that is?
Yes.
I see. Okay. Yeah, you know, it's funny because you're going, well, isn't it obvious? But only if you're very familiar with the sport. So I'm sorry if I'm asking questions that seem like I should have known.
No, your questions are good.
Well, you know, I'm
an ambassador for volleyball, so you're helping.
Well, there you
that.
Are. So I very much appreciate that. So how do you balance the competition with being an organization for every child if they're all bringing a different skill level?
Well, we at every this is just for the club teams that's that issue. If a player is not strong enough for a club team, then we recommend they go to Future Stars to build their skills a little bit.
Well, let me back you up for a moment. So the Future Stars, that's separate from a club team. That's just like when you're playing baseball and you're in the minor leagues or you're in some other you're just learning the sport. You're just learning the sport when you're at that level. Is that correct?
So to speak, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Those players come from where parents say, we want to introduce volleyball to our child.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any novice or beginning spaces? And that's when we talk about Future Stars. The other side of it is girls or boys try out for club teams, and they're so far behind, it would not be a positive experience for them.
I see.
In other words, once they go into a tournament and the player is much weaker than everybody else,
mm-hmm.
and goes on the court, you know, then, you know, there's a little bit of dismay. You know, it's just not a comfortable position for
them. Sure.
So
wouldn't be fun. They wouldn't keep doing
it.
Yes,
they lose confidence.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be building confidence, and they would
lose
confidence. So those are the two places the Future Stars player would come from.
I see. And then they advance. It's like the minors to the majors, kind of like in baseball. And so I interrupted you when you were talking about balancing the organization for every child. Is that easy to do?
Well, we have, at every age group, we try to have beginner, intermediate, and advanced players. And then we like to say our beginning teams become intermediate teams. Intermediate teams play on intermediate, you know, players play on intermediate teams, become advanced players,
mm-hmm.
and then our advanced players compete with some of the best teams in the nation. So that's how we do that. Those beginning players are slightly better than the Future Stars for players. But after a year of playing as a beginning player on a beginning team, they usually are an intermediate player. They're usually pretty good, and so on. The other thing we do is we only take 10 players on a team. Now, that's not a financially very good thing to do. If you take 16 players, that means you're getting tuition from 16 players.
Mm-hmm.
But many of those players never get to play during the tournaments. They play in practice, and then they go to the tournament, and they just sit on the bench because the tournaments are competitive. So we only take 10 players on a team, and the intent is so that everybody gets a chance to play. And then our practices are run by the coaches so that every player can be productive on the court. And then we coach the tournaments to win. But if every player is productive, you know, that's how that works out.
Let me ask you about the tournaments, because you alluded to the fact that you could play people out of state. So is the goal to ultimately be at that advanced level where what you are doing is doing tournament playing? Is that the goal?
Well, all the teams play in tournaments.
Okay, I didn't know that.
They're usually in Southern California.
Okay.
We're part of the, there's 31 associations in the United States Volleyball Association.
I didn't know that.
And then of those 31, the largest is the Southern California Volleyball Association, which is the one we play in. So they'll play automatically in 9 to 11 tournaments of those tournaments. Then our players will have 2 to 3 intra-club tournaments where they just play at one of our home courts, and they play just against other Beach Cities volleyball teams. And then the nationals are held at the end of the season. If a team qualifies for certain tournaments, they go to that. If they don't qualify, the parents vote if they want to go to another national tournament. And last year we had 18 teams from nationals from Beach Cities Volleyball. Did I answer your question? Hello? 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 Hello?
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Hi,
yeah, I
Chip.
Can.
I am so sorry. This is technology at its worst. My call dropped while you were speaking. Don't ask me how fast my heart is beating right now. So I had to call back in. And so wherever we left off, it wasn't recording. I am so sorry. I can't even begin to describe to you what that feels like from my end. So thank you for not disconnecting your side. And I just need to take a yoga breath because this is so important to me. I take what I do so very serious. And when these things happen, it makes my heart beat so quickly. So I don't know what you were saying, and I'm not even certain if it was recording. We'll find that out. But what we're going to do now is we're going to just proceed, and I'm just going to take a deep breath. So let's move forward with some of the questions I still wanted to ask you, and thank you for staying on the call.
You're welcome.
Talk about let's talk about Title IX and how that plays a part in your organization, and perhaps you can explain what Title IX is.
Okay, Title IX is a Supreme Court ruling that made funding, I mean, did a lot of things, but in general, what it did was make it so that girls, women have an equal chance to compete to boys, or a more equal chance to compete. So there are girls' teams. It basically, I like to look at Title IX as how it's affected basically our country. Suddenly girls had opportunities to participate in sports and receive all the positives from interscholastic sports activities, which is terrific. That was considered in Title IX. And what wasn't considered is the effect on boys. Boys lost a lot of opportunities, which was devastating to many boys' programs. But overall, it was, I believe, very good for our country, for the United States. Girls that have the opportunity to participate in sports suddenly, they did the same conditioning things that boys were doing for all the years that girls weren't able to. And so those girls, they grow up to be moms, and they have boys and girls' sons, and they still have those same they still have those same regimen of being fit, and they're teaching them to our kids. As a result, we're far, in my opinion, we are far more physically fit than we were before, because women are in sports, and that trend's going to continue and grow as women's sports grow and more and more. This, in my opinion, I mean, I was a father of two sons. It wasn't so good for us, but overall, this has been an absolutely absolutely terrific result of Title IX. I mean, look at our girls in the Olympics. Look at our girls in the Olympics. How many of those girls do you think are going to grow up to be moms, or maybe are already moms? How many of them do you think are just going to drop, you know, to say to their kids, you know, go back and watch television and play on computers? They're going to make sure their kids are, you know, running two blocks when they're 5 years old, and when they're 12 years old, they're running 5Ks and 10Ks. I think that has been a tremendous opportunity for the United States.
Wonderful. I want to move on to a few more of our questions, because I am curious about some of these things. So how do you find and evaluate your coaches?
First of all, in finding coaches, my number two person, my director of volleyball operations, is the head varsity coach at Santa Monica College. His ear is always to the ground to find people that could coach. And so he's always coming up with people to interview. Now, when you hire a coach, you need three characteristics. They need to know volleyball. They need to be organized and responsible. And they need to be good role models. Now, knowing volleyball. You know, in Central California, they grow volleyball. I like to say this. In Central California, they grow artichokes. In the South Bay, they grow volleyball players. And
that's
so it's
funny.
Not terribly hard to find people with volleyball in their background. Extensive volleyball. The tough part is knowing they're responsible and organized. That you get as much as you can from any references you get, and I can pretty well pick that up during the interview. You know, there are a lot of people that are flakes, and I don't want to send a flake to coach programming for you know, give that to the parents.
Absolutely.
And the third one is role modelship, and how that affects. How that's affected specifically is you want the coach to add and act in an appropriate manner. Volleyball, let's just say there's a bad call made against their team, and the coach is yelling and screaming at the coach. Kids need to understand. Parents need to understand. This is a game. These kids are playing a mm-hmm. game. Mm-hmm. How important is it that thing that happened was bad, as opposed to that's just one of life's challenges. Okay, get over it. Go on.
Right.
Play on. We are the club that doesn't argue with the refs. We're very
Good.
Competitive. We're very competitive on the top level. We won 2 national championships. We've won over 15 junior Olympic qualifiers.
Wow, good for you.
We're a competitive club, despite the fact our major issue isn't just winning. But I used to have a program. What happens is the referees are paid, and they're standing up on this perch that you've seen on volleyball courts. And if one of my coaches got a yellow card, which is for poor sportsmanship, the SCVA would call me, and I would tell the coaches they have to referee the next week, and their team won't be playing, but other teams will be playing,
mm-hmm.
and they have to referee, and then the club gets paid, and I ask the coach that got the yellow card, what charity do you want to donate it to? A lot of the coaches refuse after, you know, that was part of his or her employment agreement, but a lot of the coaches refused. So it would it's easy to tell them they're not going to be good role models, and I would just let them go.
Right.
I did that for years, and then one of my kids' dad was an attorney who told me, you know, you can't legally do that, so I had to stop that. But that kind of thing is how we figure out if a coach has a reputation of being a poor sport and not helping the kids get over challenges, I don't really want to give those kids to the parents at Beach City's volleyball.
Sure, I don't blame you.
So out of I interview about 6.5 coaches to every one I hire.
That's interesting. I'm keeping an eye on the clock because, unfortunately, when my call disconnected, that kind of messed me up internally. I want to ask you a few more questions before we get to the top of the hour, and this one is very important to me. So I know that volleyball can be a very expensive sport, and so I'm just wondering how you're able to offer opportunities to kids from low-income families and still stay in business. Because you're a nonprofit, is that correct?
That's correct. The answer is very carefully. we have a family assistance program that is available to families. Families that earn under a certain amount and can
uh-huh.
document their earnings. So it's totally based on financial need. A lot of families come with that are over the minimum, but they said my daughter's a really good, or my son's a really good player. They should be able to play for free.
Mm-hmm.
That's not we feel that if a child wants to play volleyball and we have tuition levels set that are modest, they have to pay their own fair share. If a person earns below the family assistance level, they send us a letter requesting family assistance
mm-hmm.
and documenting it. And
mm-hmm.
We approve it. And frequently, they also work at summer camp to help pay tuition.
Nice. You have some. Let me interrupt for a moment to say, you know, when I think about Little League, because that was the only thing I was familiar with that my kids did, that had a season. It wasn't year-round. Is volleyball year-round?
Well, the season itself is generally starts in September, goes through July, and then for most of the teams, it starts in December and goes through July or early July. Because of all these other programs that we have,
mm-hmm.
like we have Thanksgiving clinic, a Christmas clinic, a New Year's clinic,
nice.
Because we have all those things, essentially, we have something going probably 350 days a year.
My
Someone
goodness.
Is playing volleyball somewhere.
That, in one of those 11 gyms. Right within
those
11
gyms.
Uh-huh.
Or they're in a tournament. You know, they're
oh.
The last tournament ends July 5th in Texas.
Okay.
All the other teams will have been finished by then.
Okay. So, you know, you've seen a lot of life lessons, and I think that you've described that. And how have you seen those lessons who've played with Beach City's volleyball over the years?
I'm gonna answer that in – it's a good question. I'm going to answer
mm-hmm.
that in two ways. First of all, each coach has their own way of doing it. The things – every single time we have a club-wide meeting, you know, where all the parents, you know, there are a large assembly of parents and kids.
Uh-huh.
I'll start off by asking the players, how are you? And they're to answer, well, thank you. I want them to get used to doing that. That will open doors for them forever.
Nice.
We had a girl that played for me at 12, and then, you know, 6 years later, she was a senior in high school. I ran into her parents. She had applied to a college, and there were 35 players available. There were 12 players vying for the same grant that they were going to get. And
mm-hmm.
They had to fly to the school, and then one by one, they would enter a room, and there was 17 or 18 adults interviewing each of them. Out of that interview would come the successful person. Then the mom said, her daughter got into college. The college was back way on the East Coast, Connecticut. And she was so excited. And when the parents called us, I want you to know, when the school called us, called me, I'm talking to the mom now,
mm-hmm.
she said, the person said, you know, when we asked how are you, the only person that answered, well, thank you, was your daughter.
Oh,
that
my
didn't mean
gosh.
She got the job. That doesn't mean she got the position, but she started off ahead of everybody else.
You
so that,
bet.
That's one thing. That's one thing I do, and everybody gives me trouble because I do that. I do that at every club-wide meeting. And then any practices or tournaments, I expect the coaches to sit the players down if they curse. For my team, I have my girls, I coached a girls team last year. I have my girls sing the Star Spangled Banner at the beginning of every single practice. And then,
lovely.
And then when they go to a tournament and the tournament has someone singing the Star Spangled Banner, they stand there and we practice it. They stand absolutely erect with their hands over their hearts and don't say anything. Those are some of the things that that I personally do. Expect my coaches do many of the same things. One of the exciting things to me is to watch the kids years later, after they've graduated from Beach City's volleyball in high school and even college, and the life lessons are right there, right into
mm-hmm.
I ran into a young lady about 2 months ago at a Peach Coffee in the Marina Del Rey.
Yeah.
This lovely young lady, beautiful African American girl. She stood up and she said, "Hi, Chip." And I didn't recognize her, and she said her name. Now that was a girl that when she was in high school, she was she and her mom were living in the car for half the
wow.
year.
Wow.
And she would sell potato chips and cookies that she got from a local market for the purpose of selling them. And that's how she paid tuition. Plus she coached all summer long. And she said, and I asked her, you know, what are you doing now? And she said, well, I just got partnership at a law firm.
She oh my gosh.
Coming from that start. When I watch these, you know, kids, homegrown coaches just thrill me. Where they've graduated from college, they've come back, they played for Beach Cities Volleyball, and now they're coaching at Beach Cities Volleyball and doing all the things that I would expect them to do. That's that's just heartwarming to me. Every time I see that,
it's a full circle, isn't it, Chip?
True. Yeah,
it really
is.
And, you know, my son happens to work at a university, and kids that want to play college sports, you can't play college sports unless you're enrolled in a university in order to do that. And many of these kids take campus tours to determine if they're a good fit for that particular university. My son happens to work for the University of Arizona. And these kids come with their parents, and they want to know about what college would be like for them. And it sounds to me like you do more than just teach how to spike and do your position. It sounds to me, as you mentioned, these life skills and the role models that are involved in this sounds like it's just phenomenal, isn't it?
Well, it's certainly rewarding. My life is, and my wife and I, our life is far richer from since volleyball. I mean, you know, I graduated from high school in 1965, so obviously I've been around for a long time. And this is certainly something that I've enjoyed doing, and certainly something that has made my life richer.
I bet. I suspect there aren't a lot of organizations like yours in the area, are there?
Well, they don't. Not all of our organizations have the same mission in life.
Right.
And I'm not saying anybody else's mission is bad.
Right. No.
Ours is just different. The generally speaking, the mission of most of the other competitive clubs is to win.
Mm-hmm.
And what we feel, you've heard our mission statement. It's, we have our desire is to win success in our kids' lives later as best as we can, and we're just a
right.
I know a minor element of that, but. And then we're also, as I said, a very competitive club. It amazes me that we're able to compete with some of the clubs that are pretty ruthless in like offering free tuition and things. And there's nothing wrong with what they're doing because it's not illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But the way we put our emphasis is not on winning. Our emphasis is threefold. It's build volleyball skills. It's provide good role models to our families and have fun. If the kids aren't
right.
having fun, they're not winning. Countless times we've won where, you know, perhaps we were outmanned or outwomaned, but our kids were having fun. And the other thing is, when you have a team that is playing not to lose, I mean, like a 12-year-old is playing not to lose rather than playing to have fun, and when, you know, they become less confident, it's not a good burden to put on the shoulders of the kids, because that's not the kid's goal. The kid, it's the parents, it's the adult's goal, is to win and go for a national championship. We've won national championships and junior Olympic qualifiers where it never entered our mind that we were going to win. It just wasn't one of the things we thought. We're going to play our hardest. That's what we're going to do, play our hardest.
Right.
And have fun doing it.
Well, I think that's terrific.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And that's how we want to create healthy memories and lessons to help our players become healthy adults. And then we want to combine families from different communities, ethnicities, and income levels, I mentioned, 23 communities. And I guess the last thing is we are a family. Five of the coaches have been here at Beach Cities Volleyball for over 20 years with me.
Wow.
Over 20 years. 10 for over 15 years. I'm told all the time, I never measured it, but I'm told we have by far the most longevity anywhere. And the parents appreciate us. We've won the Best of the Beach in the Easy Reader the last 2 years. We've won the Best of the West Side in 2019, 2018, and the last 3 years, 21, 22, and 23. Everybody seems to appreciate it and feels like they are part of a family. That's what I mean, is we are part of a family.
That's one. And if you've said this before, I'm sorry if I just don't recall. Is it year-round? I mean, does this go on? You said September to July.
Yeah, that's the club season. That's the boys' club season. The boys go from September to January, and then April through June, and then the nationals in July. And then the girls go from generally November or December until June. The reason for gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so about 7 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think so. As you look forward to the future, where do you see? What's your vision?
I'd like to grow in a couple ways. I'd like to have a gym that we own and include study hall for the kids. Part of our college program is we taught SAT and ACT training to kids.
Wow.
Those tests aren't required anymore. But if you're a young person that goes to a high school that is not as well regarded, you could have a higher grade point average but still not get in. But if you do well in your ACTs or SATs, that overcomes that barrier. Love to have study hall also. And then would like to have some rec leagues and volleyball training for adults.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited hearing what you're saying. People wouldn't think, well, you're gonna go to Beach Cities and you're gonna play volleyball, but oh wait, you're also gonna get some educational background on studying for exams. I mean, that is just phenomenal, Chip. That's fabulous.
Thank you.
I mean, truly, I'm sorry that we had a little bit of a technical difficulty. I do certainly apologize for that, but I just want to thank you for spending this hour with me and sharing the enormous success that you've had over the years. It's clearly a passion. I can hear that. And, you know, I'm sure that you've got kids that probably, you know, you've been around a long time. If they were 16 or 17 when they started with you, they're possibly married and having children of their own that might be playing volleyball. Have you seen that generational?
Yes, yeah, we've had several daughters and sons of former players.
I just think that's phenomenal. Well, you know, if you're listening in another part of the country, perhaps you're inspired by what Chip is doing. You can always reach out to him. He's easily accessible. I'll make sure that you have access to his website and you can reach out to him, because maybe this is something that sounds so phenomenal that that would be something like you would like to replicate where you live. But I want to thank you for taking the time today to share your passion with our audience. This has just been fabulous.
Thank you. I'm honored to be able to be on your show. And,
well, it's great. You know, when I say conversations plus connections, thank you, David, for introducing me to you, because I've thoroughly enjoyed this opportunity to share not only what you do in volleyball, but the life lessons that you also teach. You are to be commended for what you do, and I just want to thank you so very much for sharing that with our listeners today. All
thank
right,
you
everybody.
Very much.
It's been a blast. All right, everybody. Well, have a great rest of your week, and I look forward to having. I'm actually not going to have a show next week. I'm having a class reunion, and so I'm going to give myself the week off. But I'll be back on the following week on the 28th, so don't miss me. And for now, I'm going to let Chip get on, because I'm sure there are people that need to see him. Have a great rest of your week, everybody. Bye for now.
Can anyone hear me? Over.
I read you. What's your status? Over.
We were briefed that SportsZeno is America's favorite sports book made social. Absolutely free to play and is available in your state. Join today for a healthy welcome bonus. SportsZeno.com.
Affirmative. Join today at SportsZeno.com for a generous welcome offer and the chance to win exciting prizes.
SportsZeno is a social sports book and casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Visit SportsZeno.com for more information.
SportsZeno. Everything worth a prediction.